Without him. Amen. Amen. I thank God for the selection of the songs from the musicians. Amen. They do a wonderful job in the song selections. Sometimes some pastors tell the musicians what to sing and all of that, but I don't mess with that. I let them do what they're going to do. They're seasoned enough to know. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity to stand before you and confirm what the songwriter said, that he is real. Amen. That's what I'm doing this morning, is confirming what you just sang about, that the Lord is real. Amen. And I can't live without him. Amen. I know some people say they can't live without cable. Amen. They can't, you know, live without certain things. But I cannot live without the Lord. Amen. Because it is he that has brought me this far. And he's going to carry me on in. Amen. Scripture reading is coming from Genesis. Let us stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. And when you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. Genesis chapter 42. I'm going to read 5 verses. The first 5. I hear pages still turning. Let me give a few minutes. Hey amen. I don't want to look up and see who it is, but I know where the area is coming from. Hey amen. We having trouble finding Genesis, y'all. Hey amen. Hey amen. Brother, I may need to see them immediately after service. Because we can't find Genesis. We ain't talking about First Kings, you know, anything like that. Or, you know, we're talking about Genesis. Amen. All right. Amen. The pages stopped. They found it, y'all. Amen. 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 Can we say amen, everybody? Amen. Amen. They got they. We know they there. If they're not, they're going to fake it till they make it. Genesis chapter 42, and I'm reading from the King James Version. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do ye look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Amen. For the sake of you standing, you may be seated. Amen. Just for the sake of you standing. But I want to read some more verses. Amen. Amen. sixth verse, and you can just continue to follow along. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of, and said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's son. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the son of the one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them, that it is that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brothers be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your brothers be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. I just wanted to continue reading that so you can have a general idea of what I'm getting ready to teach on. Sometimes when you're reading, it's good to read ahead and read after. And even the chapter ahead, so you can see what's going on. Because a lot of times, that's how people misinterpret God's word, is because they don't understand what took place prior to the reason why you're here where you are right now. Amen. It's kind of like right now, I read in the paper that there was a boil order in East St. Louis for water. Okay. Now, historically, we can take that and say, you know, if we're teaching somebody, you need to always boil water when you're in East St. Louis. That's how people take things. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But it's really for that specific time. Y'all follow what I'm saying? See, that's what we don't understand when we read, when we study God's word. We think that it applies right now, but there's certain things that took place. There was a reason why God said the way he said it, because it needed to be done and addressed in this particular fashion. Just like there's a boil order in East St. Louis. There's a reason why there's a boil order in East St. Louis, because there was a pipe that burst, and there's chemicals or some substance that could get into your water that they're telling you to boil. Amen? But if you let some unlearned person tell you, oh, you got to boil it all the time. That's what it says. No, it says for this specific time. Okay? So here we have in Genesis. Okay? What I'm talking about this morning is pretty much, close to what I spoke on last week. God has a way of breaking us. Amen? And it doesn't matter who it is, God is going to break us. And God would do it in a number of ways. One of the things that you need to understand about Joseph is that Joseph was one of those children that was, and let me say this for a lack of better words, he was a spoiled brat. Okay, he was the favorite of his father's children. I mean, and that was pointed out. So, I mean, in the sense where, you know, he got everything because this was by the woman that he loved. Amen. So what happened is that, you know, kids know when they're the favorite child. I mean, you can show it and not say it, but they still know it. Amen. So what happened was, is that, you know, Joseph kind of got beside himself a little bit in a sense, you know, and God sees this. Okay. So God has a way of kind of bringing down your character a little bit. Amen. Because God knew what he had planned for Joseph, and he knew Joseph would be the leader. But God had to say, okay, well, let me say this. I know what's getting ready to take place, so I'm going to use this as a teaching moment for Joseph. Because Joseph is going to be in a leadership position, and sometimes when we get in a leadership position, we take that same personality and attitude that we have and try to lead people. And we're not good leaders. So what God had to do was humble Joseph. Amen. In order to bless him and put him in a position to be a blessing to others. So therefore, God does the same thing with us. God had to kind of bring it down a notch for us because our ego is just too far up there. So God had to say, okay, let me bring you down a notch because your personality and your attitude is not going to work well in leadership. It's not going to work well over my people because what's going to happen is you're going to make me come after you and you're going to make me get rid of you. Amen. So God has to do some type of teaching for all of us. So in this, Joseph got some teaching as well as his brothers. Amen. So in Genesis 42, we see that God is going to break Joseph's brothers by awakening their sleeping conscience. See, sometimes we do things and we think that we can get away with it. And we think because God has not dealt with us, we think that we have gotten by with it. Amen. We think that no one knows about it. But God has a way of bringing it back to us and letting us know that he still remembers. Amen. And see, these are people that don't have a forgiving heart. And these are people, have y'all known people who don't like to apologize? I don't care what you do or whatever you say to them, they just refuse to apologize. I mean, you would say to them, don't you know that you owe me an apology? And for whatever reason, they won't apologize to you because they're just that stubborn that they won't apologize. Well, God has a way of saying, well, I'm going to make you apologize, but it's not going to be how you want to do it. But it's going to be in a way that you need to do it. Amen? So Joseph's brothers were hard to deal with. Years before, see, here's the thing. Sometimes God allows us to have a taste of what it would be like if we were in the position. But sometimes we don't know what to do with it. And so therefore, God said, well, see, that's why you're not in the position. You know, everybody can't be the quarterback on the team. Amen. Because everybody can't throw the ball downfield. Amen. So God has to have, you know, sometimes you got to let people see that they're not qualified for the position. So years before, under the leadership of Simeon and Levi, they had deceived a village, slaughtered all the men, and taken the women and children captive in retaliation for the one man's violation of their sister. Amen. Y'all remember that, reading that? They took matters into their own hands. That was their leadership experience. Didn't consult God, didn't talk to God. They just took matters into their own hands. That's not the way God wants us to operate, which is why people have a lot of problems in society is because they take matters into their own hands. God wants you to consult with him and seek him. And see, what Simeon and Levi did, they basically, their sister was raped, and this man wanted to marry their sister, and they didn't approve of it. So basically what Jacob said, okay, well, you all have to get, in order for this to take place, you need to get circumcised. Right. So it was, I mean, let me just say this way. Simeon, Levi, Jacob's older children, they were street smart. Let me say this in a way. They were street smart. So they had all those men to get circumcised. Follow me. They had their men to get circumcised. They said, y'all get circumcised, your people can marry with my people can marry with your people, and all that type of stuff, right? So they had them to get circumcised. So when they got circumcised, that's painful, right? So this is what they did. When they realized that they had all got circumcised, then that's when they went in and attacked them. How many know you ain't trying to fight nobody when you're hurting?
No.
Amen. Well, that's what they did.
Yeah.
That's what they did. They waited until they were good and hurting, and they couldn't defend themselves. That was the leadership that they did. When I say street smart, see, that's when, you know, somebody bigger than you, you find something to kind of take them down. You know what I'm saying? So you have to use strategy. There's been many times I've been knocked down, but I got up. Amen. But I used strategy the next time. I mean, I threw some sand in somebody's eyes. I mean, I did what I can to, you know, do what I need to do. Amen. So basically, let me get to the point, is that Reuben the eldest, number one, he had a run-in. He had slept with his father's concubine. Not good. Judah had two sons so wicked that the Lord took their lives. So he himself had a fling with his daughter-in-law, Tamar, thinking her to be a prostitute. All of the brothers except Benjamin had sold Joseph into slavery and then crushed their father's heart by deceiving him into thinking that his son was dead. Now, it's 22 years later. In the process of this story, the brother's sleeping conscience, God is trying to awake it. Okay? So God shows us some severity and grace to awaken our conscience and bring us to the point to repentance. This is when, you know, like I said, for those of you, and I'm speaking to people individually, those of you who don't like to apologize, God has a way of making you apologize. Amen. God has a way of bringing you to your knees. Amen. And I would say this. If somebody say that you owe them an apology, I would advise you to apologize. The only reason why I'm saying that is because it's easier to do it that way than to do it the way God is going to make you do it. Amen. Because the way God is going to make you do it, you're going to wish you had did it the way you were supposed to do it. Amen. Because what happens is God's way is not our way. Nor is his thoughts our thoughts. Okay? So God thinks totally different than the way we think. And God will bring you to your knees is what I'm trying to say. And sometimes you don't want God to do it the way he wants to do it. So if we offend someone, we need to go and get that corrected. Amen. So one of the things I want to say is that we live in a broken world. We forget that the world is not the way it was supposed to be. Get that in mind. When sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden, everything was broken. Amen? And that includes us as well. So in other words, your spouse is not perfect. Okay, had to get that out. Pronounce my words. Your spouse is not perfect. All right. Now that we all understand. Amen.
Amen.
Single folks, you're not perfect. Let me get that out too. For some of y'all say, well, praise the Lord. I ain't married. You ain't talking about me. You're not perfect either.
All right.
Amen. Because God is trying to find somebody for you. Not that he's trying to find. He's got somebody, but he's got to work on you. Because he's wrestling with your personality in last week's lesson. Amen? I don't think suffering is a tool created by God to do great things. Amen? I think it is an extension of sin, another branch of the evil that entered the world. God doesn't break people because he can use that pain. People are broken because sin exists. God works in the midst of suffering, even though it isn't part of God's original plan. Amen? That's not a part of God's original plan. Y'all need to understand that. However, suffering comes about to get us to move. Okay? And as you're going to see this in this lesson. So in Genesis, we in chapter 42 and verses 1 through 5, The 7 years of famine that Joseph predicted are now in full force. Now, let me say this. There are people that don't believe in prophecy. People don't believe in prophecy. You're going to see prophecy full force in this lesson. Amen. Because when God says something, it will happen. According to the way God wants it to happen. And if you don't believe in prophecy, you're just a stubborn person. And again, that's God wrestling with your personality. And if you're not being blessed, that's because God is wrestling with your personality. This is a personal walk. Amen. So the famine has spread throughout the entire known world, including Joseph's family in Canaan. So in Genesis 42 and 1, Moses writes, "Now Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt. And Jacob said to his sons, why are you staring at one another? He said, behold, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us from that place so that we may live and not die." They're staring at Jacob. When Jacob said, what? Egypt. You know why they're staring at him? Because it's a reminder of what took place with their brother. So the word Egypt was like, oh God, bringing it up again. Egypt. That's, you know, where Joseph could be as a slave. So they start looking at each other crazy. Because what's happening is the sin that you're trying to cover up, God is getting ready to expose it. You see what I'm saying? Don't want to apologize. You don't want to confess. You don't want to open up your mouth. God has a way of bringing something into people's lives that will bring out what you're trying to cover up. So God has caused a famine to come among the people. And so therefore it forced them to now, the leader, Jacob, "I heard that there's grain in Egypt." Why y'all looking at me like I'm crazy? Get together. We get ready to die here. Go to Egypt. Okay, hold up. That's a problem there. Because Egypt reminds us of what we've done and how we lied to you, Daddy. It was a reminder. Jacob's family was probably able to live on what they had in reserve. Okay? The situation is becoming now serious where Jacob hears that there is grain in Egypt. So that he starts to talk it up to his sons, and every time he brings it up, Egypt, nobody wants to get up and start moving towards Egypt because they're remembering something took place. So, Jacob's sons don't want to go there because possible that they can run into Joseph as a slave. So the word Egypt went off rubbing up against their conscience. The brothers were being reminded of their silver coins that they received from the traders as they sold their brother into slavery. They could see him begging. So that visual started coming back to them as they remember him begging and pleading for his brothers to rescue him and save him. And see, God has a way of reminding you how you did it. And God has a way. Let me tell you something. This is why I'm going to tell you something. If you don't believe in God, something is wrong with you. God has a way of doing it exactly how you did it, but just use different people. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So in other words, God is so clever that he uses a reenactment of what you did in order to get you to see your reflection. Amen? Amen? So 22 years later, you know, these brothers had tried to silence their nagging conscience. But when God applied the pressure of famine for these 10 brothers, time didn't erase their conscience, guilty conscience. See, you can brush your sins under the rug and hope that enough years will take care of it. But one day, God will apply some sort of pressure in your life and your conscience will stir. Maybe it will be a single word spoken inadvertently by someone like Egypt. Sometimes you ain't got to say a whole lot. Just say one word that will remind you of what you did. Sin compounds with some serious interest. See, these brothers have been sweeping this underneath the rug for so long, it got interest on it now. Y'all follow what I'm saying? See, when you should have just went and apologized and said, "I'm sorry, Daddy, this is what we did," or "we did something wrong." See, now the sin that you have committed has gained interest. You see what I'm saying? It has now gained interest, and now you're getting ready to pay severely for it. So the reason why I'm saying this is because I grew up with a lot of cousins, and we, you know, weren't like angels. I mean, we've done things. We had a good Christian foundation, but I don't want you to think that we were angels or anything like that. We were, you know, you say like preacher kids or whatever, or preacher's grandkids. However, we were underneath that umbrella. So we did some things in church. And when I'm saying that we had to do some apologizing before the church. So it kind of got, you know, you got used to apologize. In other words, you did it enough. But for some of us who never apologize or don't want to apologize or just stubborn apologize, I'm just telling you that you're gaining interest on what you're not doing. Amen. I mean, we don't like interest that way, but we like interest on the dollar. Amen. We like that kind of growth. But there's some growth that's happening that you need to deal with, okay? So the 10 brothers went down to buy grain from Egypt. The only reason there is grain in Egypt, to provide for their needs is because God sent Joseph ahead. That's the only reason why Egypt got grain, is because God sent him ahead. God knew what he was doing. Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, "I'm afraid that harm may befall him." So this is a wise person. He couldn't quite put it together, but he understood that there was some type of foolishness that went on with his sons. But he couldn't quite, you know how you got a, I'm going to tell you something. If you got an old school parent, they may not understand it right now. The foolishness is too cloudy for them. But when the foolishness start to settle, they'll see it. They'll be like, "Uh-huh, see, I knew that was some foolishness. See, now I'm going to get you." You see what I'm saying? See, now they're going to get you for the foolishness. But see, Jacob said, "Hold up, no. Last time, there was some foolishness going on. I ain't sending him. Because this is the baby mama that I do like." Pray for y'all, Pastor. That wasn't supposed to come out. I'm telling you, that wasn't supposed to come out. Now y'all want to know why I read from the script. See, that's just, you know, first, that's just, I mean, he got all kind of problems. That's another message, y'all. That's just all kind of problems in that household. But he wasn't letting this one go. No. Y'all go. Y'all go to Egypt. I don't care much about y'all anyway. Y'all go. Okay. That ain't finna happen with him. But that's true. Y'all, what y'all laughing? That's true. That's in the Bible. Read it. Read it. You're laughing at me. I'm telling you the truth. So in the fifth verse, so the sons of Israel came to buy grain among those who were coming. For the famine was in the land of Canaan also. Famine is not a good thing, but God used it. God can and use materials, need and lack in our life to get us to do things we normally would never do. See, God has a way of saying, oh, I'm going to get you to do it. But you ain't going to like it, but you're going to do it. And our stubborn attitude be like, man, please, I ain't doing that, whatever. But God has a way of saying, you ain't that tough. You're not as tough as you think you are. God is saying, yo, you will do it. And if you don't do it, it's just going to keep continue to compound. And then I'm going to really deal with you. So normally, the brothers would never go to Egypt, but need drove them to Egypt. Amen. So it is important to see what God is doing. For years, Jacob and his boys lived life without having to think about God. Anybody living like that? Living life that you don't have to think about God? Bills are paid, food on the table, all that type of stuff. You ain't thinking about where it's coming from. You're just living life. Life went on as normal. They got up, did their work, came home the next day, started all over again. They went content in their routine. Their needs were met. Life went on as always had. But with this famine, God gets their attention. See, things come upon us and in our lives, whether it be individually or as a nation, to get our attention. There's something that we're doing that God is not pleased of, and God is trying to get our attention. See, it's easy to avoid God when we feel self-sufficient. It's easy to feel that you have no need of God, God's touch, when everything is running smoothly. These men were comfortable in their denial of their deception. Living life comfortable. Hey, nothing happened to us. We're fine. Same thing happened with Adam and Eve. Hey, we ate fruit of the tree. Nothing happened to us. I'm still here, you know. Nothing happened. That's the way we feel. These brothers felt like, hey, we just did something sinful. Hey, seems like Dad bought it. Let's move on. You know, until God says, but I was watching and I saw it, and that's some foolishness, and I'm going to make you pay for it. Wow. So God said, I'm going to bring a famine upon the land. I'm going to force you to go to your brother. Why? Because there's some things that I said to your brother that you didn't approve of, but my word is going to carry. So God has a way of breaking us and bringing us to our knees. So God could have simply washed his hands with these brothers. He could have said, fine, forget it. I ain't going to even trip off of it. Y'all did that, so what? Okay, y'all just live out there and just do your own thing. But God loves us too much to let us go without a fight. Amen. Don't y'all love that? I mean, God loves us too much to say, hey, I'm not giving up that easy on something that I created. God is saying, hey, this is worth fighting for. This is why he had to deal with Satan. God said, this is my people. I created them to worship me, to praise me. You will not get the praise, Satan. This is what God does. So at times he exercised what? Tough love. People don't like when Christians show tough love, but you got to show tough love. God shows it. How come we can't show it? God shows tough love. He also allows crises into our lives that forces us to address ultimate issues. In these situations, God is often seeking to awaken us out of the spiritual laziness that has come upon us. God lovingly put Jacob and his family in the midst of a famine in order to draw them to him. See, a lot of times, see, here's the thing. They were comfortable living their life, but God said, no, okay, they're too comfortable. I need to shake things up a little bit. All right. Because I need to get people to remember who I am. You know, see, sometimes we get complacent. We get lazy. We forget that God is the author and finisher of our faith. So therefore, we get to the point where we say, hey, in our lives, I don't need God anymore. Everything is good. But God is saying, no, I'm going to shake things up a little bit. All right. Because you're too comfortable. I need you to worship and praise me like you never have before. God is saying, I need to awaken you up and get you moving in the direction that I want you to go. Because see, some folks, we talked about lazy spirits. All right. In the church. I don't care what you do. Ask them, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? That's the type of response we get. No help, no anything. So you got one person doing four things, and you got another person doing absolutely nothing. See, sometimes God will say, that's not right. So God will do this. He will bless the person that is working, and the person that is not working, he'll kind of shake things up in your life a little bit. Because God said, I'm trying to get your attention. Don't mean to rattle you, but in a sense, yes, I am trying to rattle you to get you to move in the direction I need you to move in. I need you to start doing things for me, because only what you do for Christ will last. So, to say that, I'm saying, are you going through a tough time? If life was a struggle for you right now, could it be that God is trying to get your attention? Yes. Could it be that he's trying to awaken you out of your spiritual slumber? All right. Is it possible that God loves you so much that he wants you to be with with him and working with him in the ministry? In Genesis chapter 42 and verse 6, as I read, now Joseph was the ruler over all the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down to him with their faces to the ground. Now, back in Genesis. Now, I'm going to say this. I didn't have a lot of time to put these scriptures on the board, because a lot of times when you put scriptures up, it kind of takes away, you know, but you all need to reference and read the chapter in Genesis and understand what I'm saying. Joseph had two dreams and predicted that one day his entire family would bow before him. Prophecy. He prophesied, one day you're going to bow down before me. What did they do? They laughed. Like a lot of us, when it's prophesied to you, you laugh. God ain't going to do that. Sarah did the same thing. We laugh at God because of prophecy. Why? Because our ignorant mind does not understand or cannot comprehend the things of God. So that's why you're laughing. You're laughing because you understand. You're laughing because your mind is ignorant. It doesn't understand what God is doing. So therefore, these brothers, the same ones, if you read in the scriptures, they laughed and said, are you telling me that we're going to bow down to you? Are you crazy? Man, and please, you're talking foolishness. Go on somewhere with that stuff. Ain't nobody going to bow down to you, little scrub. Yeah, I know that's what they're saying. So Joseph had these dreams, and he predicted that they would bow down. And there and here, the prediction begins to come to pass. Joseph's brothers tried to kill his dream, but instead they provided a way for the dream to be fulfilled. Right. See, what I'm basically saying is what God has said, it will carry out. Why? Because it's God's word. God said it will happen. It will happen. I don't care how hard you tried to kill that dream. God is saying, no, no, no. I'm just going to use what you did as an avenue to get my person there. That's how God does things. You know, so as we're looking at it as evil, God is looking at it as, I'm going to use that for good. God says in his word, you can trust it. He is faithful to his promise. If you are growing weary and impatient, know that God will fulfill his word. If God has spoke a word to you in your life and said thus and so, you can believe that thus and so is going to happen. Why? Because it came from the very mouth of God, the creator of all, who spoke the world into existence. When, in other words, when there was nothing, he made something. So God is saying, even though it don't look like it's going in your favor, God is saying by a spoken word, I can speak it into your favor. So right now, this person may look like they're having so much fun and they're getting away with everything that they could possibly get away with, but God is saying it's working towards the good. Now, that's hard to believe when you see the evil that's going on, but you just got to trust God. That's what it boils down to. God can and does use the evil action of man towards us to further his good plan. All right. This never excuses man's evil, but it means God's wisdom and goodness are greater than man's evil. That's all it's saying. God is greater than man. So God is saying, don't trip off of what you see. Right. You understand what I'm saying? God is saying he's in control. And you got to believe God for that. Let me say this. There were things that was prophesied to me 20-some years ago. 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, a few months ago. All that stuff y'all know came to pass. Why? Because it was spoken by the word of God. The greatest test of Joseph's life occurred not when he was laid low by injustice, but when he was given unlimited power over his wicked brothers. Remember, I said Joseph had to learn a lesson too. Okay, so Joseph had to learn his lesson. So would he use God's given power to seek revenge against his brothers? Or would he use it for the purpose of saving the nation Israel from famine? We all have some position of authority that God has entrusted us with. Now, the real test comes now when you're put in a position of authority, what you going to do with it?
All right.
You understand what I'm saying? It's not so much as what Joseph went through. Yes, that is significant because otherwise the Bible wouldn't have it in there. But now it plays a major part is now that you have been put in position and ruler, now what are you going to do with this authority that has been given to you? Are you going to use that for revenge? That's why when a pastor or a minister is up, you should not use the pulpit as a means of attacking people.
All right.
It is used for a means of building up the saints of God, and most of all, it is for bringing the word of God forth, regardless of who likes it and who don't like it.
All right.
Amen. So you cannot come up here and start sugarcoating things based on because you want people to feel good. This is not a feel-good job.
All right.
Amen. You want a feel-good job? Well, go up, look in the ad. Find something out there that's a feel-good job. But this is not a feel-good job. Amen. So, just to make things interesting, when Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he disguised himself to them and spoke to them harshly.
All right.
Read the scripture. Spoke to them very rough. Now, some people say, well, Christian shouldn't be talking like that. It depends. Did God give it to me? If God gave it to me, I'm going to tell it how he said it.
Right.
We expect for Christians to be kumbaya, loving everybody. No. Not this one.
All right.
I'm not a doormat. I have a mouth. I will speak up. If it's wrong, it's wrong.
All right.
If it's right, it's right. If it's a duck, it's a duck. If it quacks, it's a duck. It ain't a dog. Amen. So, when Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them, but he disguised himself to speak harshly. Remember, Joseph recognized, he remembered his dreams. Did he remember his dream, or did God call it to his attention? Y'all follow what I'm saying? See, God calls things to your attention. You remember that dream that I gave you? God is remembered. So in other words, his word went out there, and his word was floating. God's word ain't going to come to him until it's complete.
Right.
His word is going to accomplish what it is set out to do.
Amen.
Now, when his word gets clearance, it will land.
Right.
Then once it lands, it's going to say, I've accomplished what I set out to do, and it's going to go back and tell God the news.
Yeah. All right.
That's what the word does. It goes out and his word will just grab you.
Uh-huh.
Then it'll do everything you need to do, which makes you do that, what you just did.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And then once it does that, then it goes back to God and it said, I just made your word complete.
Right.
I accomplished it.
Great.
So God recalled the dream to his mind and guided him to be an instrument for the correction and restoration of his brothers.
All right.
Now, I got to get, God said, this is what God said, I can't have people out of order. See, God is a God of order. He said, I got to have order.
All right.
So I got to get this right. If Israel wants to be blessed, then they got to get in order. You understand what I'm saying? God saying, I'm not going to just bless that mess. No, no, no. There is some mess that was going on that needs to be cleaned up in order for me to bless. Just like we said last week. Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless me. But God said, what is your name first?
You want a blessing from me? What's your name? His name meant something. Deceiver? Trickster? Once he said his name, he basically said everything that God wanted him to admit to. Then God said, okay, now I can bless you. But see, God does the same thing here. God said, I'm not blessing them because there's some stuff that needs to be uncovered.
All right.
There's some stuff that's hidden that I can't make, you can't move forward until it's revealed.
All right.
So if any of you want to know why you're stuck where you are, you can come and fake it all you want to, but you need to be true to God. Because God sees all and he knows all. God can and must sometimes use ways we think are harsh to call us to where he wants us to be. We must never resent it because it was the hardness of our hearts that demanded that type of tone.
All right.
If you're going to be stubborn, then God got something for you. You can't go and talk to a stubborn person, well, okay, well, that's what you want to do. I mean, that's okay. No, they're going to continue to be stubborn. Sometimes you got to go to them in another way. In other words, I'm saying you got to talk their language. That's the only way that person will understand. You got to talk their language. If you know, if somebody yells, then you go to them yelling. I'm just saying. I know, y'all read books. They said, well, somebody's yelling, you need to use your inside voice so you can bring them down. Yeah, that works. Sometimes. Joseph recognized his brothers, but his brothers didn't recognize him. How is this possible? Keep in mind, when was the last time you've been to your high school reunion? Or, let alone, let's say your junior high reunion or anything like that. If they ain't seen you in 20-some years, I know. I don't know what past time. I still look the same. I ain't changed. You know, I know. See, y'all, I'm getting the wave patterns that's coming up here that's making me talk the way I'm talking. If y'all would just focus on the word of God, then I wouldn't have to say stuff like that. But I'm just trying to tell you what the wave patterns is coming. I don't know what you're talking about. I still look the same. I ain't changed. I still look like I should be in high school. Whoever told you that, yeah, stop talking to them. Let me find out where I left off at so I can go. Almost 40-some years, okay? It's been a while since they seen their brother. So you ain't going to too much recognize people. That's like when I was working in the hospital. If I saw somebody who wasn't in scrubs and I saw them out in the work in society, it'd take me a minute to kind of recognize, oh, that was so-and-so. Because I'm used to seeing them in a different, you know, type of environment and setting. So you can imagine it's been some years now. So Joseph doesn't look the same. But Joseph remembered them. God, you know, allowed Joseph to remember them, the dreams which he had about them, and said to them, remember that when Joseph's dad sent him to check on his brothers, what did his brothers say to him? Didn't his brothers call him a spy? They said, you a spy, right? And some of y'all don't say amen, that lets me know you're not reading the Bible, you're not reading the Genesis. I think I heard one amen. That's not good enough. That's a bad percentage. My point is, for the one person that did read, and you heard that, you read that Joseph's brothers referred to him as a spy. Amen. There you go, sister. All right. You read that Joseph's brothers said that he was a spy, he came to spy on them. Notice how Joseph flipped the script here. Now Joseph is saying, y'all are spies. This is God's way of saying, how you like it now? Okay, you didn't call him a spy when he wasn't a spy, technically. But my point is, God has a way of doing a reenactment, letting you see how you treated someone, and then God reverses that. And now he puts that on the other end, and he allows you to see what you've done. Now they're trying to plead and say, hold on, no. We're not spies. We're not spies. And notice also that they said they were true men. A bunch of liars. Y'all hear, y'all read that? Y'all read that? Please say amen. Let me know you're with me. They said that they were true men. In other words, they don't lie. How many of y'all know people who say they tell the truth and know they lie like a sieve? Lie like everything that you don't. I mean, come on now. You know, so Joseph said to them, it is as I said to you, you are spies. By this, you will, in other words, be tested by the life of Pharaoh. You know, you got to prove yourself. If you a liar, you got to prove yourself. You ain't going to just say that you're not a liar and you still are. No, you got to prove some trustworthiness. So Joseph's purpose is accusing them of spying was not motivated by bitterness at all, but by a desire to basically, he was, in other words, he was trying to see and figure out the health of their father. He was, in other words, doing another way of inquiring about their father. So God allowed him to go this route and do this route, in other words, to get to a point that he need to get to. I mean, so sometimes God allows us to see the sin that we've done. But see, we are too busy looking at other folks that we cannot see what God is trying to do in our life. This is why I said this is personal. All right. I remember my grandfather who taught, he put a mirror in front of the congregation. And he was basically saying, you need to see yourself. Because you're too busy looking at what somebody else is doing. How many know that, you know, well, if you're married, there's always the spouse will always say what the other spouse is doing and not doing. That's typical. That's normal in a marriage. We always say what the other person not doing. Why? Because it's easy for me to see what the other spouse is and is not doing. But it is not easy for me to see what I am not doing. Why? Because my eyes is not focused on me. My eyes is focused on someone else. Amen? Amen. I mean, it's kind of like what I said in men's ministry. You know, one brief thing is that we can see something on the floor that needs to be picked up, but people will walk over it, and they won't pick it up. Their mindset is someone else will get it. Amen? It is true. That's the way we think. But as I was taught, how come you cannot pick it up? What's wrong with you? Let me say this, and I don't mean this in a bad way. When was the last time you exercised and bent down and came back up and did it again? So that's an opportunity for you to get some practice in. Telling everybody that you're exercising. Well, let me see. Pick that up. So, Joseph repeats with his brothers the exact scene that happened to him 22 years earlier. Joseph brought his father a bad report about his brothers. Y'all see that? See, he kept one. He kept the brothers there. So what he did was he basically allowed the same scene to take place and all over again to his father. When Joseph finds his brothers, they are upset because they no doubt think he's spying on them for the second time. Okay, so reading between the lines, it's likely that Joseph's brothers accuse him of being both a spy and a narc. So now, in an unusual turn of events, Joseph accuses his brothers of being spies, looking at them. So Joseph is doing all of this in hope that his brothers will wake up to the nature of their actions. He's hoping this treatment will make them, in other words, come clean. God has to use some strategy to a person, just like Nathan had to use strategy to David when he gave the analogy about a man losing sheep. Okay? So therefore, David said, bring it to me. He should be dealt with severely. And then Nathan had to say, well, you are the man. You see what I'm saying? God has to use strategies to get us to see ourselves, because if we just come directly to a person and say, this is what you did, we'll say, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. But if you use strategy and go into that individual like God is doing here to allow his brothers to come clean so that the house of Israel can be blessed, God can then say, we can now move forward. Joseph's brothers probably hadn't given much thought to what it felt like to be captive in a pit until Joseph put them in the dungeon. Now, this is how it feels. Y'all put me down there in the well. Now, I'm going to put you in here. How does it feel? See, it doesn't feel so well when it's coming towards us. All right. But when we are doing it towards somebody else, we don't care. So God is trying to say, I need you to get right with me. And this is how it's going to be done. So Joseph was not being cruel. God was using these events to awaken the conscience of his brothers. The brothers needed to see, to feel, to understand their own wickedness. It is unfortunate but true that often we do not understand sin until we see it the way it hurts God and destroys others. Yes. Sometimes God has to allow us to see how it's hurting someone else. Now Joseph said to them on the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined in your prison. But as for the rest of you, go carry grain for the famine of your household. All right. So Joseph basically said, first of all, a person in Egypt is not going to refer to, you know, God the way Joseph did. It's a difference the way how a Christian refers to God. You know who they talking about. Amen. But Joseph had to be careful that he wasn't talking in Hebrew. He had to talk to them as an Egyptian. Otherwise, he would have gave himself away if he started talking to them in Hebrew. No different than when we talk hood talk. Oh, I know where you grew up at. Amen. When you talk that hood talk, you're like, uh-huh, yeah, I know you're talking my talk now. But see, when you talk a different language, like, oh, no, you're not from around here. No, that's not how we say that. Amen? So, in other words, what I'm saying is God has a way of getting us to where he wants us to be. See, we have to see the wrongs of the past, sin. We need to expose our denials. We need to face the truth. And if you're unwilling to do so, God will pursue you in a way that you don't want to be pursued. All right. So if you don't want to be pursued the way God wants to pursue you, then here's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. We have to be broken. Amen? Broken down in order for God to use us. Because the way we think we are is not how God wants to use you. All right. God has to first say, hold up, your attitude needs to be broken. Your personality needs to be broken. The way you're going about things need to be broken. In other words, so God can use you the way he wants to use you. I mean, God has many ways to get our attention. You remember Jonah. Jonah was heading in the wrong direction, both physically and spiritually. So God intervened to turn him around for correction. Not punishment, but for correction. God matches every move of Jonah with a counter move of correction. You see what I'm saying? So when you think that you're getting ready to get over or run from God, God has a way of counter moving and saying, I expected that move, so now I got you. Kind of like it reminded me of the time my wife and I were playing checkers for the first time on our kind of late honeymoon, right? And I anticipated her move, and I was whooping her real good. Yeah, I know I only tell stories that's going to, benefit me. And so I'm going to tell you, if you had looked at that checkerboard, it was embarrassing. So she got to the point where I anticipated her move. So every move she made, I counter that move with another setup move. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So my point that I'm trying to make here is that I'm not saying that God plays games, but I'm saying that God is always ahead of our moves. So God knows how to alter his moves. So when I was playing, finish this point, because I got to tell you the end of this checker story. When not, this is very important this morning. Yes, very important. When I was playing checkers, so when I counter every move that my wife would make, my wife got to the point where she said, I don't want to play no more. So therefore, we don't know the end of the game. So in her eyes, the game never ended. The game was suspended. So my point is, that was the end of that story. So the point is, what God doesn't say, God doesn't do it. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that God counters our move. So if you're going to run from God, God is going to be there waiting for you, because no matter where you run, he's going to be there. So whatever you do, God is already present. God is already there. He's waiting on you. You can't get anywhere. This is why God hurled a storm after Jonah. He sent the storm his way. And in doing that, it affected other people's lives. Sometimes we have to understand why things are happening in our lives, because it could be that somebody has just come into our life that shouldn't be in our life. And God is saying that person needs to go, like now. But we want to entertain this person. It's not good. See, the Lord heard a violent wind. The wind and waves served as God's servant to disturb the sleeping prophet. All right. God uses the storm of adversity to teach us or to correct us. This storm illustrated that spiritual struggle of Jonah's heart. While the rebellious prophet knew what was right, a fierce battle raged in his soul. God's goal in affliction is to awaken him. God knows that there is a battle that's going on inside of you. So God is trying to get you to understand that I want you to move in this direction, which is better for you. In the direction of obedience is always the best direction when you're dealing with God. Okay? So God often uses the storm of adversity to teach us or to correct us. Amen? So sometimes God has to shake us in order to awaken us, physical and figuratively. This storm was sent for Jonah, but it affected everybody that was on the boat. And we see God uses this method of correction many times in the Bible. Jacob's deception was followed by the deception of his father-in-law, Laban. The Israelites refused to seize the promised land and were forced to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Samson lost his eyes and spent the rest of his days pushing a grindstone like a donkey. King David had to run from his own son. Storms come into our lives for several reasons. We should always ask God, what are you trying to get me to understand or get me through? Because God is ultimately trying to get us through something. So he touches someone near you. Although Jonah had sinned, the sailors were afraid too, because they were affected by the same storm. When the storm came, Jonah was about to drown. But remember, Jonah was getting ready to take everybody down with him. The storm that touched his life touched the lives of all those around him. We are affecting other people. In other words, what I'm saying is what I said a few weeks ago, how you praise God, someone else is looking at you, and they're going to do it just like they see you do it. So in other words, if they can't see you praising God, don't expect them to praise God. Children see what they see their parents do. Another thing that I said in the men's ministry is that when you, when I'm out cutting grass or when I'm using a trimmer, I make sure that I have on my safety glasses and I have on the things that I need to have on. Why? Because my children on the inside of the house are watching me. And if they're watching me use safety techniques, then I know when they get older, they're going to use the same safety techniques. All right. But if I'm a father that's not using safety techniques, then my children will not use safety techniques. Look at it this way. If I'm a father that praises and worship God, then my children will see that, and then they will worship and praise God. Why? Because they're looking at how their daddy is praising God despite what he's going through, despite what he's dealing with, despite how he's feeling. They're looking at their daddy praising God in the midst of his struggle. And in the midst of his storm. So therefore, they're looking at what their daddy is doing. And they say, what if my daddy did it? Then so can I do it. It works that way. After David's sin, he remained in an unrepentant state for nearly a year. You might recall that after about 8 months, the prophet Nathan confronted David. Confronted him. Remember, I just said that. He confronted David of what he did. You should consider the answer to the question, what is God willing to do to bring you back to him? The answer is whatever it takes. God knows which nerve to touch. Just like, let me say this. Let me take you back to your childhood. You remember when you was on the playground? You can say anything about anybody. But man, when you say mama, hold up. I don't care if you couldn't fight. It was enough to put something in you to make you fight. Even if you, like I said, even if you fought with your face, you weren't going to fight with your face that day. What I'm saying is that whatever it takes, God is trying to put something in you to get you moving into the direction that he wants to get you in. So he sends, sometimes God will send someone into your life. Every person don't even have to be saved, but God can use anything. God sent the captain to Jonah. The captain approached him, wanted to know who he was. Man, you better talk real quick. In other words, what I'm trying to get you to understand is that the person that God sent to him was unsaved. You know, so we don't, it don't necessarily have to be a believer all the time. It could be an unsaved person that God can use to come and give some correction to you. But we're looking at, oh, you ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. You ain't no better. God is using this person at a moment to save your life. God knows the state of this person. But God is trying to help you. They didn't follow the Lord, the people on that crew, on that boat. But God knew who did follow him. That's who he was after. God used an unbeliever to correct Jonah. They said, hold up now, hold on, hold up. I may not know the Lord that well, but I know I better not touch his prophet. I better not do him no harm, so we're going to figure out what we're going to do with this brother. Amen. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So they said, let's cast lots. Let's do something. We need to figure out what we need to do. And in doing that, God is in control. And God allowed the lot to fall on Jonah. In other words, the enemy, this shows you that the enemy has to get permission to touch you, to do something to you. This is what a believer of God has to understand. The enemy has to get permission. If he does not have permission, God will deal with him severely. But if he does get permission, that means it was submitted to God first, and then God approved it, and then God said he can handle it.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. And if you all work the job where they say, well, I know somebody who can do the job. In other words, the request first went to the authority. Then it came down to the appropriate person. In other words, they say, oh, yes, we do have someone who can take that job on. So you have to look at it this way. If something comes your way in your life, it is because God said that it can be done by you. Amen? So basically, but what I'm trying to get you to understand is that we have to be broken first in order to be used by God. So what does it matter to God if we're not where we're supposed to be, if we're not doing the things we're supposed to do, what does it matter to God? God loves us. He loves us enough that he gave his son. His son to come and die on the cross for us. Now, if that's not love, then what is it?
All right.
God gave his son to come. He loved us so much that God said, I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to fight for them. I thank God that he did not give up the fight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I thank God that he did not give up the fight. I thank God that he has continued to bless us. And God is using us, but God wants to bless us, but God has to break us in order for us to get the blessing that he wants us to have. Amen. We're going to open up the doors of the church. We're going to open up the doors of the church at this time. This is an opportunity that we set aside every service. This is a way that we extend an invitation to Jesus Christ. It is a confession that this is where you would like to worship and serve the Lord. This is the day, this is the time, this is the hour that you could come. Amen. Let us all stand. Let us all stand. Amen. Amen. I thank you. Thank each and every one of you for coming out.